Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
Good day, Journey. So glad that you are joining us for this service today. Hey, my name's Eddie. I serve as one of the pastors here at Journey, and we've been in a series called Awaken, How to Revive Your Spiritual Life. And Pastor Dustin has done an incredible job the last couple of weeks, and he's been looking at this diagram that we're going to be looking at again that talks about how we can have revival in our own lives. And here's what we've been saying. When we hunger and thirst for more of God, it leads us to the presence of God. And when we are in the presence of God, it leads us to confession, that the Holy Spirit convicts us. And when we start confessing our sin, it allows us to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly in our lives. And when we are able to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly in our lives, it opens us up to do the work of the Holy Spirit is calling us to do and to proclaim Christ publicly. In the last few weeks, we've looked at hunger and thirsting for God. And last week, we talked about confessing sin. And today, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know when I say the Holy Spirit, some of you guys get nervous, right? That we have seen those preachers that go off about the Holy Spirit, and that kind of makes us a little shy about that. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't weird, all right? The Holy Spirit isn't weird. Just some of the people that talk about the Holy Spirit are weird. I don't know what your experience has been about when you hear people talk about the Holy Spirit, but maybe when you hear of someone talk about the Holy Spirit, you think of them as maybe kind of weird. If I'm being honest, I kind of fall in that camp sometimes. But my hope today is that we want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit and the life that we can have when we are being led by the Holy Spirit and how there is power in being led by the Holy Spirit. So this message today is not so much about the study of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to go to Pastor John's sermon series called Secrets of the Spirit's Power. This was back in October of 2019, and it's an incredible series that I want to encourage you to go to. Rather, today is going to be about when the Holy Spirit is working in your life. First 2 weeks, we've been looking at this idea of Lord, fill me up, that we want to be a people who say, Lord, fill me up with your presence. Help us to confess sin so there's not a barrier between us and you. And the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at, Lord, would you pour us out? God, would we be used by you? We see all throughout Scripture that God wants us to be led and used by Him. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Isaiah 48:17 says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Clearly, we see that God is saying in his word that he wants us to be guided and to be led by him. Since we've been looking at revival, we've been looking at a guy named Evan Roberts with the Welsh Revival. And it made me think of actually another revival that has happened here in America. I remember I first heard about this revival when I was in New York City. I was actually at a noontime gathering with other pastors from New York City. And they're all gathering and they were sharing why they gather at noon for lunch and for prayer. And they talked about this revival. This revival is typically referred to as the businessman revival, the prayer meeting revival, or the Fulton Street revival. And it all started with a guy named Jeremiah Lanfear. And Jeremiah Lanfear was a 48-year-old businessman who left his business, who gave up his business to reach people for Christ. Jeremiah worked for a church 5 minutes from Wall Street, and he decided to host a lunch hour prayer meeting. The first half an hour of the first meeting in September 23rd of 1857, no one showed up. Eventually, six people did, though. The next week, he had 20. In early October, he was starting to see around 30 people. And eventually, over time, it was estimated that 10,000 people daily were praying. Then it started to spread throughout the country, and other cities started to pick up this whole idea of noontime prayer gatherings. And it is estimated that during this time of these prayer gatherings, that 1 million people in America gave their life to Christ. 1 million people. And 1 million people is a lot of people. And some of you go, yeah, Pastor Eddie, 1 million people is a lot. But we have like 330 million people in this country. I know that. But in 1857, America had 35 million people. Roughly 3% of our country's population came to Christ during this time. That's amazing. That's amazing to see how the Lord was using this man and to see this movement, this revival in our country of drawing people towards Christ. And as much as I think that is amazing, I don't want us to miss what I mentioned at the beginning of the story, that it started with a 48-year-old businessman who left his business to follow Christ. You see, so often we look at all the fruit in the trees. Wow, 1 million people gave their lives to Christ. But so often we fail to forget the faithfulness and the obedience of the person who planted all of those trees. You see, Jeremiah simply took the simple step of obedience, of closing his business and following the Holy Spirit's guidance. And that's what we want to talk about today. Not so much all the grand works that God wants to do in your life, even though I believe that God wants to do a powerful work in your life. Today, rather, I want us to focus on that first faith-filled step where we are taking towards God and we are obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me put it to you this way. To be awakened to God means to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's a few things that we need to remember about the Holy Spirit as we move forward in today's message. The Holy Spirit, first of all, is a helper who teaches and reminds. Jesus told his disciples, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit, secondly, convicts of sin. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And lastly, the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" You see, to this last point, the Holy Spirit lives in everyone who is a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and prompts us when He is speaking to us. Think of it this way. The promptings of the Holy Spirit are kind of like a hiking trail sign. I'm going to explain what this means. But a hiking trail sign, it points to a reality, and it also points to a direction. And here's what I mean. Here's a photo of my kids on the hiking trail that we love to go on. Yes, that is the crazy season of life that we are in. I have my incredible daughter who's smiling, and then my crazy boy, John Wayne, who is just a ball of fun. And I know some of you right now, you want to act like you are John Wayne right now. So go ahead, stand up on your seat, or go ahead, stand up, and go ahead and just give that pose of John Wayne where he's just, you know, I want to see some of you stand up and do it. I don't know if anyone's doing it, but if you did, you get 10 extra stars for the day, whatever that means. But we love to go on this trail. And our family loves to go for exercise and for time together. But I also go to this trail by myself to spend time with God. And on this trail, there are these hiking trail signs pointing and showing you the path that you are on. And the role of these signs are twofold. The first one is to let you know that, yes, you are on a path. And secondly, it's to let you know where you are going. If you grab a map and you go, okay, here's the blue trail. If I continue on the blue trail, here is where it will take me. And just like the Holy Spirit promptings, when God is speaking to you, it does these two things. It first of all lets you know that you are walking with God, that you have a relationship with Him, that He is actively working in your life. And secondly, He wants you to take Him up on these promptings where He's leading you and pushing you so that you follow Him and that He's nudging you towards. And just like that hiking trail sign, you are on the right path. And that when you follow this path, you know where you will need to go. You see, following Jesus is a journey of assurance that He is with you always and that He wants you to live the life that He has created you for, and that He wants to do this by you following the Holy Spirit's leading. I like how Francis Chan describes this journey. He puts it this way: the truth is that the Spirit of the living God is guaranteed to ask you to go somewhere or to do something that you wouldn't normally want to or choose to do. The Spirit will lead you to the way of the cross as He led Jesus to the cross. And that is definitely not a safe or pretty or comfortable place to be. The Holy Spirit of God will mold you into the person that you were made to be. This often incredibly painful process strips you of selfishness, pride, and fear. Ultimately, that is our goal. To be a people who were made in the image of God, living on purpose for Him, and being obedient to His word and His Spirit's leading. A famous preacher, D.L. Moody, was suggested to preach at an event. And one person sarcastically said, "Do you think Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" "No," replied the man, "but I believe the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody." The scripture gives a great example of this with Jesus's first disciples. It says in the book of Matthew, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. And Jesus called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father, and left the boat and their father and followed them. Do you notice the two simple phrases that shows their instant obedience? At once they left their nets, and the other, they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Now imagine that you are the father in this story. Imagine having your two sons in the boat with you, and then you see Jesus calling them to leave everything behind, including you, to go follow him. And all of a sudden, they jump out of the boat and they start following Jesus, leaving you behind. Fathers, what would you be thinking? Probably not too happy. But the crazy thing about this story is that they didn't concern themselves with anything. They just listened to Jesus' calling on their life and they instantly obeyed his calling. There's something that we all can learn from this story. You see, the fun part of the Holy Spirit is that we can all follow the Holy Spirit, and we can come back next week with 1,000 different stories on how the Holy Spirit moved in our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit is asking all of us different things at different times. It's not a cookie cutter answer that I can tell you what the Holy Spirit is telling you. So you may be asking, well then, how do you hear and discern the Holy Spirit in your life? That's a great question. Here's a couple thoughts that I have about that. As we talked about in previous weeks, we first need to come to a position where we are hungering for more of God. And when we hunger more for God, we want to have a right relationship with him. And so we confess our sins to him. And when we do that, there is no barrier, and we can hear God's voice more clearly. And here's just a couple questions that I would help, that I would encourage you to ask as you process hearing and discerning the Holy Spirit in your life. Does this sense that you get, that you feel like the Spirit is calling to you, does it align with Scripture? Does it align with the Word of God? The second thing, are your motives pure? Meaning, are you just saying that, yes, you feel like God's telling you to do this, but really deep down, you're just wanting to do it for your own selfish reasons? Is there an ulterior motive with this? Or do you genuinely feel like this is something the Lord is calling you to? And lastly, as you have read the word and know Jesus in and out, and you know his characteristics and his personalities, is this something that Jesus would do? Is this something that Jesus would do? You see, we know that Jesus even trusted the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed against being led away, being crucified. We see, though, that when it was the time to act, he embraced this tough calling with these words, "Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." You see, regardless of Jesus' feelings, he embraces what the Father has for him. "Not my will, but yours be done." There's a story that Pastor Dustin shared with me of a lady in our church named Carmela. And Carmela, the last several months, had her husband, who was a man of God, pass away. And she was watching several months ago a midweek conversation. And in the midweek conversations, they were talking about the residents and interns and how they needed some host homes for them. And she immediately texts Pastor Dustin saying, "I'm in. I want to text you now because I don't want to chicken out." You see, she instantly obeyed when she watched this midweek conversation, and she didn't want it to pass on. She instantly wanted to show up and to be an answer to prayer and be obedient where she felt like the Lord was leading her. And that's the beautiful thing of following Jesus. You see, when we follow the Holy Spirit, it always comes with a story. I like how Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, describes it. He says, "For Christian living demands that we keep our feet on the ground. It also asks us to make a leap of faith. A Christian who stays put is no better than a statue. A person who leaps about constantly is under suspicion of being not a man, but a jumping jack. What we require is obedience, the strength to stand and the willingness to leap, and the sense to know when to do which." Eugene Peterson's quote really hits home with me, especially that last line. What we require is obedience, the strength to stand and the willingness to leap, and the sense to know when to do which. Most of you are probably aware by now that I've accepted the call to serve as a pastor at a church in North Carolina. This is not an easy decision for me and my family. As someone who has come to this church as an intern, met his wife here, has two children here, has served alongside some incredible volunteers and staff, and has gotten the opportunity to shepherd and pastor an incredible church, it is my time to practice what I preach. You see, above all my callings in my life as a husband, a dad, a pastor, friend, my first calling is to be a follower of Jesus, to be someone who has an active and personal relationship with Jesus, where I am obedient to His word and being led by His Spirit. And in this season, I feel like the way that I can best be obedient to God is to go in this direction that He's opening up. You see, I feel like the Lord is calling our family to go to North Carolina. And since we are talking today about being led by the Holy Spirit, I thought it would be helpful to give you three questions that I've been asking myself as I've been being led by the Lord. And I think these questions would be good for all of us if we want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Here they are. Are you open to be stretched by God? Are you even open to the idea that God is speaking to you? You see, all day, every day, God is wanting to stretch you in your walk with Him. All day, every day. Some of us need to remind ourselves, go ahead and say it. All day, every day, God is wanting to stretch us. God is wanting to stretch, shape, challenge, and form you into the image that He's created you to be. So are you open to being stretched by God? Secondly, are you available to hear God? Do you have margin in your life to hear God speak to you? Or is the noise volume so loud in your life that you can't hear the whisper call of God? I spent a lot of time on that hiking trail this past year with no phone, just me and the Lord. And lastly, are you seeking to be used by God? Do you believe that we could serve a God who is living and is actively moving in the world, and He is using His faith-filled followers of Jesus to accomplish His mission? So are you looking for opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around you? Are you open to be stretched by God? Are you available to hear God? And are you seeking to be used by God? Journey, it has been an honor of a lifetime to serve alongside of you. Thank you. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you are living, you're active, you're moving in this world. And God, we're so grateful that the Holy Spirit lives inside all of us who follow you. God, help us to be people who hear you, who discern your voice, and God, that we would be led by your Spirit to do the things that you're calling us to. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for this time together. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week. So make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.